I want to say a massive thank you to Pastor Paul for entrusting me with this space, for inviting me here today, for entrusting me with you, the congregation. I really hope I do the space justice. Now, I've had enough conversations with Paul to know that the only appropriate way to start this morning is to ask you to all open your Bibles and read with me from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 11. I'll give you some time to flick. I might just try and... Oh, you know what? It's going to be too hard. It's fine. It's fine. It's really... It's all good. Oh, yep. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Are we ready to go? All right. From verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Go, I am sending you out like lambs surrounded by wolves. Do not carry a money bag, a traveler's bag, or sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whenever you enter a house, first say, 'May peace be on this house.' And if a peace-loving person is there, your peace will remain on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in that same house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the worker deserves his pay. Do not move around from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and the people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in that town and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come upon you.' But whenever you enter a town and the people do not welcome you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, the kingdom of God has come.'" Let me pray before we get started here today. Lord, let these words, your words, more than any of mine, sink deep into the hearts of your people here this morning, that they would introduce a fresh revelation of your word and who you are, and call them to change and grow with you. Bless us as we explore your word this morning. Amen. Now, I don't want to put you under pressure, but if you want to give a little bit of an amen or a yes, Lord, I thrive off that. So you go nuts.
Amen.
Hey. Yes, Lord. We're getting along just fine, I'm sure. My slides are working fantastic. Everything's good. All right. When I was a kid, and I'm being super vulnerable here, so no judgment, right? Right? There were some times, where I may have indicated to my mother that I was sicker than I really was. Now, I know what you're thinking. This man is clearly a paragon of society. How could he have these blemishes on his past? I know. But it's true. There were times when I just faked being sick to stay home from school. Mind you, I was always well enough to make it to the couch and to operate the remote. I always had just enough energy for that, but definitely not enough to make it to school. Now, for you young people, it's a weird thing to stay, as it says, a 34-year-old. The kids' programs all ended at 10 a.m. on TV back in the day, right? Because back in the day, YouTube wasn't a thing, Netflix wasn't a thing. You just had five channels and hopes and dreams. But there was this show on just before the kids' programs ended called Art Attack, hosted by a guy called Neil Buchanan. Now, please tell me someone remembers Art Attack. Two, three people. You are my best friends. Art Attack, for the young parents, was Mr. Maker before Mr. Maker was Mr. Maker. All right? That'll help give you some context. In every episode of Art Attack, Neil would do some sort of huge artwork, using the floor of a warehouse or a huge open area outside. And what you would see is Neil sort of dropping random objects, often household items or junk, in piles on the ground, moving them into position. And up close, all you'd really see was him sort of throwing a blanket or a kettle or something around. But every now and again, the camera would sort of show the overhead view, and you've got this picture starting to come together. Gradually, you would start to see things taking shape and taking form. You might see a leg start to sort of form over here, or something look like a window over here, or a tree over here, the seemingly innocuous movements of material on the ground would start to make sense when you sort of zoomed out a bit. And the random assortment of junk started to reveal a huge, often really complex picture. The one that really sticks in my mind was just salt. He was pouring salt on the ground all over this black floor, and you saw just random streaks here and there, and all of a sudden, as you zoomed out, was this magnificent sort of vista. He was amazing, Neil Buchanan. Finally, once he was done, you would get this full overhead shot of this magnificent work of art. And you would see how each individual piece that looked random and hodgepodge at the start fit together to reveal a landscape or a unicorn or a house. Each piece of cloth, each bit of junk, each household item had a part of that picture in it. And when it was all placed together, the picture was revealed. This passage we're reading from today is one of the more well-worn in Christian circles, for mostly good reason. For me, it underpins the very essence of Christian mission. And that's in part why I'm here today, to talk about mission. I want to unpack this passage with you a little more and give some context to it, because I believe that if we, the church, understand and embrace what is being said here, we will change the world. And not just we can change the world, we really will change the world. So let's go back to our scripture here. I'm going to highlight some important bits, and I'm hoping everything's coming together. And of course, as I say that, no good. All right. So back to Luke 10, 1 to 11. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Go, I am sending you like lambs surrounded by wolves. Do not carry a money bag, a traveler's bag, or sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whenever you enter a house, first say, 'May peace be upon this house.' And if a peace-loving person is there, your peace will remain on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in that same house, eating and drinking what they give to you. For the worker deserves his pay. Do not move around from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and the people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in that town and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come upon you.' But whenever you enter a town and the people do not welcome you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this: the kingdom of God has come.'" There's lots to unpack here. I'm going to work through it to build a picture, but we just need a bit of context to really give meaning to this passage. This montage, if you will, of Jesus equipping his followers and sending them out actually starts in the previous chapter. There's a really important line in chapter 9 that adds depth to our passage in chapter 10. Yes. So Luke 9, 1 to 2 says this: "After Jesus called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." He gave them power and authority. You're going to hear me say those words a lot. So in chapter 9, we have Jesus giving this blueprint, as it were, for going out and doing kingdom ministry stuff. So we need to view chapter 10 not as a separate incident, but as an extension of this blueprint. If you want to get heavy into the Greek, the word "others," just the word "others" in chapter 10, in the first line, is the direct link back to chapter 9. First the 12, then the 72. Matthew chapter 10 has the mirror of this passage with a slightly different take on the outworking. Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority over unclean spirits so they would cast them out and heal every kind of disease and sickness. And starting from verse 8, "As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." All right, so I've thrown a lot of scripture at you. So let's break this down into a manageable biblical concept we can apply for today. Jesus is bringing people together, appointing them, giving them power and authority, and sending them out to minister to the people in an active outworking of the kingdom of God. This is not just teaching. This is spiritual ministry. This ministry is clearly marked by two really important characteristics. The first, its tangibly powerful nature. Yes. People are healed, not just educated. People are given life where there is death. People are cleansed and dignified. Demons are cast out, as opposed to people just merely being comforted in their affliction. This ministry, this work that Christ sends first the 12 and the 72 out to accomplish, is tangibly powerful. It is felt, it is experienced, it is encountered. This is not just cerebral. This makes sense because before he sent them out, Jesus gave them power. And then asked them to give out of that power. Freely you've received, freely give. He didn't just give them permission. He didn't give them general direction, somewhere over there. He didn't give them anything else except power and authority. In fact, in the verses preceding, he tells them not to even take a staff or a bag or bread or money. The power and authority he gave them is more than enough. The second important characteristic that defines this work that Christ has sent these appointees out to do is that the work is inextricably linked with the kingdom of God. As you go, proclaim the kingdom of heaven is near. When they are healed, tell them they have experienced the kingdom. If they reject you, make sure you tell them, regardless of their response, the kingdom of heaven nevertheless came near to you this day. This is not just a branding exercise. The kingdom of God is the power to change this earth so that it conforms to heaven. I especially love that line that Jesus uses. If you have been healed, if you've been made whole, if you have been brought from the fullness of this world into the perfection of creation, then you have experienced the very nature and power of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has come upon you and transformed you. The words that are written there that we translate as come upon are tangible words. There's no escaping that. Giving meaning of experience, of overcoming, of genuine encounter. This is not an administration of knowledge or understanding. This is an administration of power. The ministry that Christ sent them to accomplish is inextricably linked with the kingdom of God. It is an extension of, an experience of, an encounter of the kingdom of God. This is a really important concept to wrap our heads around because it's the kingdom, the powerful, tangible kingdom that is experienced, not just discussed, that is at the core of the gospel itself. But that's another sermon. The reason these people were able to do this ministry, the reason they were able to heal, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, to cleanse the lepers, to administer the power of the kingdom to life after life after life, and then celebrate of their accomplishments upon their return, the reason they're able to do this is because the Lord Jesus Christ empowered and authorized them to do this work. All right? Now, I want you to write these words down somewhere, anywhere. I don't care, on your phone or in your Bibles or on your page or backwards on your forehead, whatever you have to do. Remember these two words, empowered and authorized. The first word is?
Empowered.
The first word is? Come on, one more time. The first word is
empowered.
And the second word is
authorized.
Jesus empowered and authorized these people to do this work. He gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. It says there in Luke chapter 9. And it worked. It worked. Surprise, surprise. It worked. They came back full of enthusiasm and success, saying in chapter 10, verse 17, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. It worked. Jesus sent these followers out to do the work of the kingdom of God itself. And to ensure their success, he empowered and authorized them. And this is a pretty amazing vignette, is it not? It's a pretty incredible sequence of events. I know it kind of seems mundane to us now because you've read it a million billion times. But if you take a step back for a minute and see what's transpiring, it's really magnificent. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gives his followers power and authority to administer tangible power of the kingdom of God for the purposes of healing, deliverance, and resurrection. And then they just go and do it. These surely must have been the finest examples of those followers of Jesus. They must have been those who already had higher levels of office in the community before. They must have been the highest of the high, the most important, the most impressive in order to be appointed by Christ to the work of the kingdom, right? I mean, not really. Not really. You want to know what really qualified these people? What the singular link between all those 72 was, it was even in the 12, the apostles, those we hold in the highest regard as being the greatest of the great, biblically speaking. See if you can spot this unique characteristic they all share in this passage from Matthew chapter 4. As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, follow me, and I will turn you into fishers of people. They left their nets immediately, and they followed him. Did you catch it? Here's the great qualifier. Here's the thing that makes or breaks your candidacy for doing the work of the kingdom of God, that enables you to be one of those chosen few that were empowered and authorized to heal the sick, drive out demons, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. The great, amazing character trait, the thing that separates those that change history from those that repeat it, the thing that fundamentally transforms the world as the reality of God's kingdom is brought to bear upon a broken earth that is desperate for restoration. What made these people worthy of being bestowed with this kingdom power, with this kingdom authority is they said yes. They just said yes. They followed him when he called. They just said yes. That's it. This is what qualified. This is the test they had to pass. They said yes when Jesus asked them to follow him. When he said go, they went. When Jesus told them to do the work, they did the work. This is what is so incredibly beautiful and simple to apprehend as to what makes someone worthy of doing and being able to do the work of the kingdom. It is purely they are willing to follow Jesus. Last week you heard from Prison Fellowship, from Prison Fellowship about the work that they do. And we'll be looking at the work of Destiny Rescue in just a few minutes. It's 2 weeks of really understanding the mission and the ministry that you as a church support. And I commend you for it. The heart that you have to support the mission that we and the Prison Fellowship do, it's overwhelming. But as important as the mission you support is the mission that you are. As important as the mission you support is the mission you are. This church, you, the church community, are the mission in Bundoora and the surrounding suburbs, as Destiny Rescue is the mission on the back streets of Phuket or the slums of Kisumu. Amen? You are the missionaries. All of you. No one gets a free pass. And I need you to understand and be confident in this fact. The reason you are here today, most of you, is because you already have said yes to Christ, right? Wake your hand up if that's you. Which means you have all qualified to be empowered and authorized to do the work of the kingdom of God. Actually, it's not me that needs you to be confident and understand this. It's those people out there. It's the world out there that is absolutely desperate to encounter something that is not of this world. Every single one of you has what it takes, has all the prerequisites required to go out into the world and into your community to heal the sick, drive out demons, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. Every single one of you. Every one of you has the task before you of going out into the world, into the houses, the neighborhoods, the streets, the shopping centers, and speaking the peace of God upon these people and proclaiming that the kingdom of God is near to those that you meet. Every single one of you is a missionary. Because every single one of you have passed the most important test required for those that want to move in the power of God's kingdom. You said yes. The challenge before you is to simply continue saying it. Listen to where God is calling you and say yes to going there. Understand how he has gifted you and say yes to using those gifts. Be directed in who to minister to, be they afflicted, sick, or dead, and say yes to liberating them or healing them or raising them. Again, I say to you, and please absorb this truth as intentionally and steadfastly as it is possible. You, Grace Place Church, each and every one of you, have been empowered and authorized to do the work of the kingdom. The task before you now is to go and do it. And in my experience, that's the tricky bit. I need to ask you, so I'm really confident, are you empowered and authorized to do the work of the kingdom of God? I'm going to ask that again. Are you empowered and authorized by Christ himself to do the work of the kingdom of God?
Yes.
How confident are you that you are empowered and authorized to do the work of the kingdom of God? Very?
Yes.
Really genuinely. Who believes this with their whole heart? Put your hand up. There's no trickery here. There's no convoluted argument. There's no we need to work through it. 15-week study to get to the truth. None of that is the case. It's as simple as this. If you say yes to Christ, you get the power and the authority. That's the bottom line. Your scope and scale of how you use that is entirely dependent on whether you do it or not. That's it. The more you move in that space, the more you'll exercise in it, the more you'll get to know it. But every single one of you, without fail, has been empowered and authorized. That is the truth. That is the gospel. The kingdom of God has come, not just for those people, but for us to do the work. Now, I'm sure some of you are wondering why, still, I spent the first 5 minutes talking about some kid's art show that I watched when I was pretending to be sick. As each of you begin to do the kingdom work that you've been empowered and authorized to do, you will each begin placing these pieces of kingdom power and experience and encounter into the community. Someone might experience healing on this street or a prophetic word on this street in this house. Someone might even be raised from the dead, but I would suggest to start with the basics first. I'm certainly not confident to go into the local graveyard and just start praying. It's just, I'm not there yet. But as each of you are going about your kingdom work, the work that you've been empowered and authorized to do, a picture starts to form. There might be a lot of pieces coming together over this side of town and not as much over this side of town. But the more we're doing this work, the fullness of this picture starts to come into view. What begins to form is not just a nice representation of how we can get along. What begins to form is God's kingdom vision for this suburb, for this city, for this state, for this nation, for this world. As we begin bringing each of our pieces, we do all of our kingdom work, we bring into fruition through partnership with the kingdom of God, the fullness of that kingdom vision that God has for Bundoora. As we do the kingdom stuff, as we go and heal the sick, drive out demons, cleanse the lepers and raise the dead, the fullness of God's kingdom vision for this suburb, for this town, begins to come into fruition. And do you know what God's kingdom vision looks like for Bundoora? I can tell you. It looks like people being healed in the name of Jesus. It looks like peace being brought where conflict once was. It looks like addiction being overcome. It looks like dignity being restored. It looks like peace. It looks like harmony. It looks like freedom. It looks like unity. It looks like restoration. It looks like love. It looks like beautiful, amazing, life-changing, Christ-like love. It looks like all of these things that the church does and should be when its people understand that they have been empowered and authorized to do the work of the kingdom of God and say yes to doing that work every single day, just as they said yes to following Christ when he called them by name. Who here has been called by Christ? All of us. Our faithful kingdom activity in this community looks like God's kingdom vision for this community, because we are the ones empowered and authorized to do it. And all we have to do is say yes. As I was praying last night for you and for the message today, I had a really strong sense that there is a special anointing for this church that is on the cusp of a really powerful new season. And it excites my spirit. It gets me really, like, I'm almost giddy. There's been something bubbling away here in this place, well, and formerly the other place, for many years, quietly growing in power and authenticity, that is being prepared for this specific season for the Grace Place Church. And I would consider it an honor to pray for you now, if you'll let me, that the fullness of this blessing may rest upon you and you will be propelled into that new season, not by human effort, but by the anointing of God. Does that sound good? Can I invite you to stand? And if you're comfortable with this, just open your hands as an act of receiving. Feel free to do so. If that's not your jam, that's fine too. And if you agree with the prayer, you feel free to let me know. Father God, first and foremost, we thank you that it is you that empowers and authorizes us to do the work of the kingdom. We don't have to do anything ourselves. We do it all through you. It's not our effort. It's your power and your authority. Lord, we thank you for that. Father, I ask that you would rain down this fresh anointing upon your church this morning, that in each and every one of these hearts that stands before you and wants to receive this blessing, that you would ignite a brand new passion in every single person here to do the work of the kingdom out there in the streets. That they will be encouraged to step into that gift of healing, to step into that gift of prophecy, to step into that gift of encouragement, or whatever it might be, that they would be empowered and authorized in a brand new and fresh way this morning, that would reside in their hearts for years and years to come. Let this be the launch of a new season for the Grace Place Church, I pray. That these people would be empowered and authorized afresh. Let that kingdom power and energy rest with them at all times, prompting them to act in partnership with you, Lord Jesus, for the transformation of this community. And all of the Lord's people said, Amen.